Listen, if I'd known then what I know now, there would have been room in my inn. Oy vey, I would have given up my own bed. But I didn't know. How could I know, right? Now, Bethlehem was so full of people. I mean, the government, they, you know, made everybody in the world go back to the hometown and register. You know, government has to have the money. And since nobody wants to stay with the in-laws, I'm full. I remember that day. We were full before dinner time, and now it's 2-3 hours after dinner when they show up. Talk about desperate. He was exhausted and scared, and she was about to burst. And as they're approaching my place, I'm thinking in my head, I know what I'll say to them. I'll say, I'm sorry, we don't have room. But by the time they get there, they just stand for a minute, gather their thoughts. He looks down, he's thinking. I notice she winces ever so slightly in pain. And he looks at me, and he says, please. That's all he said, please. Let me tell you a story. I'm 5 years old, right? I'm helping my mother set the table. I noticed that she has one too many plates, so I say to her, Ma, you got one too many plates, you know? And she says back to me, you never know who may show up. I look at her like, what? She walks over to me. She says, you never know who God may bring your way. You always make room. So I look back at the couple and I say to them, I don't know where we'll put you, but we'll make room for you. And we did. It wasn't the nicest room, but it's all I had to give them. Mom was right. You always make room.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. First 7 verses. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And then everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the Word of God. Let's just take a little step back before we step forward. What I mean by that is I really want you to remember the last few weeks. Again, as we've journeyed through Advent, as we've looked at what's going on, and as we began with the wise men, as we celebrated communion together, and we remembered that there were 400 years of silence for the people of God. And it was the wise men who diligently searched and looked and listened for God, and that we are called in this day to do the same. To look and to listen for God and to see where God might indeed break through. If you remember nothing else from that service, you'll remember the horn, all right? I still get feedback from that, all right? And if I do it again, I will have an ambulance outside waiting, all right? But we remember the silence and we remember that God wants to break through. And then last week, as we looked at Joseph, someone who stood by a pregnant woman. Not of his own doing, and everybody knew it, but he stood by her. And he wondered why. And he struggled. And yet what he realized was that he was chosen of God. And that we are chosen of God for a purpose. And we are chosen of God to share the good news of this Christmas season and of a living God in Christ. And so we continue the journey this day as we think about this innkeeper. And I want us just to remember a very very big and a very little word. A very big and a very little word. What am I talking about? Think about that word if. If. If I had only known what was going to happen with Apple computers, I would have invested years ago. If I had only known. If I had known that that food was so spicy, I would have never eaten it and paid this price. If I had only known. If I had only known that the words that I spoke hurt you, I would have never said them. If I had only known. If I had known that Michigan State was going to beat Ohio State, I would have ordered Rose Bowl tickets sooner. If I had only known. If I had only known. If I had only known that this was Christ, the Son of God, I would have let him in. I would have given him my own room. I would have given my own bed. If I had only known. Hindsight is 20/20. You've heard that. And for, again, many of us, what does the past teach? What have we learned from the past? What will we learn? I mean, it's Christmas again. We've all decorated our houses. Many of us have begun that journey of holiday treats and gift giving. Many of us struggle through, again, the Christmas card debacle and sending them out. It's Christmas time, and yet, if only I had known. If only it was hindsight, but it is. Here we are again. The child is being born. Here we are again that God shouts into the silence and says, I love you. If I had only, if we had only known, if. I don't even think we can really imagine what it was like then. I don't think we can imagine the trip, the journey. Again, I can only compare it to our lives and think to myself, huh, when Jenny was pregnant, if I put her on a horse in the last week of her pregnancy, or a donkey, let's even make it a bicycle, all right? And journeyed for a week or more, I don't think that would happen, all right? I don't think it would take place. And yet, that's exactly what happened for Joseph, for Mary. Then in the midst of this event, they journey. He's tired, he's exhausted, he's wondering about why him. She's sitting there taking this all in as a young girl struggling to understand. And then the government comes up with this crazy idea that they need to journey to their hometown. They could send people out. They could take a census the other way. And yet, as the government so often does, it makes this idea happen. And they're exhausted. They're overwhelmed. I mean, you and I, we go to the Secretary of State to renew our license. We look and we have to take a number. We walk in and we look at that and we go, oh, I got number 27. And it says serving number 1. And we get upset because we waste 2 hours. We get frustrated and anxious. And yet they traveled and traveled and traveled. Exhausting, overwhelmed, confused. And the only thing left in the end was please. As he looked at that innkeeper, please, please, please help. Please listen. Please make room. Please. please let me in. For each of us, we cry out so often in that manner. Maybe we're a student and we've just gotten a 79 on a test. But we need that B to keep our scholarship hopes alive. And we go to the teacher and we say, please. Or the employee who has been working so hard and really at this point could use that promotion, could use that raise, and we go to our employer and we say, please, please. Or maybe we're sitting at that hospital bed. We're looking at that loved one. We're not sure what's going to take place in the coming days. And we say, please, please help. Please listen. Please make room for me. And in this holiday season, in this day when we think about the birth of Christ, we begin the journey looking to God saying, please make room for me. I know that I've struggled. I know that I haven't listened. I know that I've walked away from you. Please, please let me back in. Please open your arms. Please, please make room. And let me know how much you love me yet again. But it doesn't stop there. Because when we think about this idea of if I had only known, when we think about this word please, are we making room for others? For the others that God brings into our lives. Do you remember the dinner table growing up? You remember what took place, how it all looked? I mean, can you remember the discussions of things that you would talk about, that you would laugh about, that in some cases you might even cry about with your parents? And you sat around that table, and yet, what others might God have invited? You sat there and let's see how good you are, all right? You talked about things until the point where you looked at your parents and you said, why? And your parents looked at you and said, what? The kid said, why? You say, because I said so. That's right. Or maybe this one. I am your mother. I'm not your maid. Very good. Or the one that is famous, and I think I've even used several times. Stop crying, or I will give you. See? We gather around that table and we, for many of us, welcomed other family members. We welcomed friends. And even for some of us, we welcomed strangers. And that's what God is saying in this manger, that we make room. That we make room. Make room for the people that God puts into our lives. Make room for the people who are looking for a place to find shelter in the world today. We never know who God might bring. Whether it be around that dinner table, whether it be around the lunch table at work, the lunch table at school, somebody wanders in and you can see in their eyes that they're just saying, please? Please? And what do we do? If I had only known that they were so depressed and lonely, if I had only known that they were new to the community, if I had only known, do we welcome others in? Do we invite them to the table? Do we listen? Do we share? Do we help them to be blessed in the world today? One of the things that I miss already with my kids getting older is that when they were young, when they were still under my control, I can remember praying with them. And not the prayers of some great theology, but the Superman prayer. I know I've sang this before. Thank you, God, for giving us food. Thank you, God, for giving us food. For the food we eat and the friends we meet. Thank you, God, for giving us food. That's a good prayer. But when you're in a restaurant and your kids remind you, we haven't prayed. And you say, well, what do you want to pray? And Joey looks at me and goes, the Superman prayer. So you're in the middle of Applebee's. You're in the middle of somewhere. It's crowded. And all of a sudden, thank you, God, for giving us food. But it's amazing how people get engaged. How people feel almost drawn in. And how people feel welcomed at the table. That we would welcome others in to our lives. To our lives. But above all, this day, we welcome, or we ask the question, will we welcome God into our lives? Christ, this child, will we always make room? Will we always set that extra place setting at the table? That extra seat in the car? The extra chair at the office? Whatever it might be, are we saying this day that, yes, Jesus, you are welcome? That we hear God in His infinite mercy saying, please. And that we open our homes, we open our tables, we open our hearts to a living God who wants a relationship with us. Now, right now, many of you are saying, well, yeah, sure we do. Yeah, sure. But I stand before you knowing that welcoming, that having that 20/20 hindsight, that getting past that, well, if I'd only known, is a choice. Each of us is an innkeeper. Each of us is an innkeeper of our own heart, of our own soul. Each of us have to ask that question, do we have room for Christ? And you say again, but Pastor, but it's a choice, folks. And in this season, we get filled up, full with other things. And do we have room for that baby, for that child? Are we ready for what Christ brings into the world? That it won't be the same. Are we ready for that? Are we ready to listen? Or are we trying to have a strategy how we can outbuy, outgift the other family members and be number one? Are we busy keeping down and developing a plan of how many days we're going to spend with this family and how many days we're going to spend with that family and how we make sure that we don't offend anyone? Are we thinking about those people who don't have anyone to spend Christmas with? Or are we busy thinking about what game we're going to play on our new Xbox? We're innkeepers. And will we let Jesus Christ in? Or are we full already? How many of us have lost someone? How many of us look at these holidays with kind of this bittersweet kind of emotion? We remember the last Christmas we spent. We remember the times that we laughed together, the times we gathered around a table. How many of us are in the midst of that journey right now? And how many of us, after the fact, go, if I had only known that they weren't going to be here for this Christmas. If I had only known that I wouldn't have seen them again. If I had only... Don't let Christmas be a if I had only. Let Jesus into your life. Make room at the table for the child. It might be messy. Just like that little child at the table. They wipe the food all over the high chair, all over their face. It drops all over the floor. And yet there's new life. And when we let Jesus in, it could be messy. We might have to clean things up. It might change who we are. But we let him in. And the love of God transforms who we are. If I had only known. If. Amen.